Turn with me, please, to our text this morning, 2 Kings chapter 9 and verses 30 to 37 as we continue in our series, Don't Waste the Victory. 2 Kings chapter 9, starting at verse 30. Then Jehu went to Jezreel. When Jezebel heard about it, she painted her eyes, arranged her hair, and looked out of a window. As Jehu entered the gate, she asked him, "Have you come in peace, Zimri, you murderer of your master?" He looked up at the window and called out, "Who is on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked down at him. "Throw her down," Jehu said. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. Jehu went in and ate and drank. "Take care of that cursed woman," he said, "and bury her, for she was a king's daughter." But when they went out to bury her, they found nothing except her skull, her feet, and her hands. They went back and told Jehu, who said, "This is the word of the Lord that was he spoke through his servant Elijah the Tishbite. On the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs will devour Jezebel's flesh. Jezebel's body will be like refuse on the ground in the plot at Jezreel, so that no one will be able to say, 'This is Jezebel.'" And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I just thank you that it's true. And I pray you just to show us this morning, Lord, how dangerous and demonic the spirit of Jezebel really is and how much we need to be throwing her down and casting out of her lives. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Monday, during President Donald Trump's speech during the inauguration ceremony in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda, he mentioned all kinds of things that his administration was going to be doing different than the Biden administration did. And that's one of them.
"As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female."
"It will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female." People, did he really say that? Did President Donald Trump really say that there's only two genders? Did the President of the United States have to say that in a speech, that there's only two genders? Because I could get a three-year-old kid out of children's church right now who could tell us that. And folks, the fact that President Trump did have to say that in a speech to the entire country proves how bad this nation is already possessed by the spirit of Jezebel. And if we don't apply the victory that God gave us last November the 5th, we're going to waste that victory. And this country is going to turn into Sodom and Gomorrah right in front of our very eyes. The text we have in front of us this morning tells us what we need to do about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Don't Waste the Victory, looking at all kinds of things that we need to do to maximize the victory that Donald Trump won for America last November the 5th. Exactly the same kind of victory that King Jehu won for the northern kingdom of Israel 800 years before the birth of Christ. Last week we armored up to see how we could have victory over the devil and demon spirits. And today we need to wake up to see how we can have victory over one demon spirit in particular. And that's the spirit of Jezebel. And to see that we turn today to 2 Kings chapter 9 and verses 30 to 37. In this part of 2 Kings chapter 9, Jehu continues to fulfill his calling by killing off the house of Ahab and Jezebel. And in our text today, he goes after Jezebel herself, the big kahuna. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we want to have victory over the spirit of Jezebel, we've got to do exactly the same things that Jehu does here. Our text this morning, 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 30 to 37, tells us three things that we need to do to wake up and have victory over the spirit of Jezebel so we can be the people that God wants us to be in these last days. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to wake up and have victory over Jezebel, we need to recognize her. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 30 to 31. So wake up! Because you'll never know you're asleep until you wake up. And people do all kinds of things when they're asleep that they don't do when they're awake. So wake up, because your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. And you may have never declared war on Jezebel, but I guarantee you, Jezebel has definitely declared war on you. And too many Christians are in bed with her, sleeping with the enemy, and don't even know it. Amen. So for crying out loud, wake up and recognize her. Now, Jehu here doesn't have to wake up because he recognized her right off. Verse 30, after he got done killing the king of Israel and the king of Judah, he goes into the city, into Jezreel, after Big Mama, the queen mother. Because to kill a snake, you've got to cut off the head. Now, Jezebel's husband, King Ahab, had been killed 14 years earlier in a battle against the Arameans. But she was still around, the original girl gone wild. And she got the text about Jehu killing her son, King Joram. And she'd heard the watchman say that Jehu was on his way into the city. But notice, instead of crying out to God and begging for mercy, what is she doing instead? Verse 30, she's putting on her Tom Ford blush and her Revlon brow gel and her Charlotte Tilbury lipstick and poofing her hair. And instead of sackcloth and ashes, she puts on her best cotton mini because the devil really does wear Prada. And then she stands in the window like a prostitute. She's not repenting. She's primping. She's trying to seduce Jehu so that he doesn't kill her. But when she realizes he ain't touching that with a 10-foot pole, verse 31, she calls him Zimri, the murderer of your master, referring to a man named Zimri who 42 years earlier assassinated a king of Israel named Elah and then only lived 7 days after that because the goon squad that was part of the same evil dynasty that Jezebel was a part of bumped him off. So Jezebel's saying, Jehu, you may kill me. You ain't even going to live long enough to enjoy it. Jehu was wide awake. He recognized everything about Jezebel. The question is, are you and me going to wake up and recognize Jezebel? Because folks, we got to realize Jezebel is not just some dead queen from 800 years before Christ. Jezebel is a demon spirit that's still around tormenting all of us today. And how do we know that? Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, Jesus said, there's a woman named Jezebel in the church of Thyatira in John's day, 1,000 years later, which means that demon spirit is still around in our day, 3,000 years later. Amen. And what's the spirit of Jezebel like? Exactly like the original Jezebel. Evil and conniving and sexually perverted and pushing false teaching and idolatry and child sacrifice. And Jezebel is a control freak because Jezebel turned her son, King Joram, and her husband, King Ahab, into lap dogs. So there's not only a spirit of Jezebel, there's also a spirit of Ahab, controlling women and weak men. Old gods, new age. Spirit of Jezebel does 5 things. It cancels believers, just like the left tried to cancel and censor us, Christians and conservatives, during the lockdown. Jezebel closes churches and schools just like leftists did during the pandemic, causing the worst mental health crisis in young people in the history of this country. And a 4,000% increase in the number of young people who think they're trans. You don't think that's the spirit of Jezebel? And Jezebel counterfeits the kingdom of God. She compromises believers so that they get scared and bow the knee to Baal, like all the spineless pastors in this country who won't speak out about politics because they're scared to death their church is going to lose their tax-exempt status, even though no church in the history of this country has ever lost its tax-exempt status. And Jezebel castrates men. And what do we see all over America today? Metrosexuals on every corner. Spirit of Jezebel. And Jezebel's not only inside women, the spirit of Jezebel also gets inside men. Porn star Stormy Daniels, who tried to shake down President Donald Trump, has been a practicing witch her entire adult life. And just last Halloween, she won the Witch's Woman of Power Award from the other witches in Salem, Massachusetts. Taylor Swift, who claims to be a Christian, does witchcraft during her concerts. Spirit of Jezebel. Former Democrat vice presidential candidate Tim Walz, who put tampons in boys' bathrooms all over the state of Minnesota. Spirit of Jezebel. Richard Levine, former secretary of HHS under Joe Biden, is a man pretending to be a woman named Rachel. Spirit of Jezebel. I could go on and on and on. And people listen to me. We better wake up and recognize who she is, because do we have any idea how mainstream Jezebel is today? Here's a gay drag queen twerking on a little 4-year-old girl. That video. video was so pornographic, what he was doing with that little, I couldn't even show most of it in this church. And the brain dead parents sitting there who are supposed to be protecting that child from demonic claptrap like that are just clapping and cheering it on. Jezebel, the logo for Starbucks, is a siren, a two-tailed demon spirit mermaid that tried to kill sailors. The original logo in 1971, Starbucks showed her with bare breasts and two tails. Her two tails spread apart like her two legs spread apart, saying, come get me. And over the years, that logo has changed a little bit. So now the logo just focuses on her top half and both breasts are covered. But you know what? It's still the same demon. Amen. So everybody, just keep drinking your Starbucks coffee and give a toast to Jezebel. Have any idea how dangerous and demonic Jezebel is? Audrey Hale, who shot up the Covenant Christian School in Nashville, Tennessee. Gender confusion, mental illness, control freak. I'm going to control this school that I attended years ago. Purposely shot the pastor's 9-year-old daughter and killed two other kids, sacrificing children to Baal and Molech. Jezebel showed up. And when Jezebel shows up, she always steals and kills and destroys. People, listen, we better wake up and recognize Jezebel for who she is, because you have no idea. You have no idea when Jezebel is going to come a calling. Amen. Back at the old church, we had a Christian family, a mom and a dad and 3 kids. And the dad was a Christian counselor. And he came in contact with a woman named Debbie, who was raised in this area in a satanic cult. So, of course, they called me and Sue. Now, Debbie was legit. She was physically and sexually abused by all the members in that cult. And she was terrified of Christians because she was taught exactly everything opposite about Christianity. She was taught that if you touched the Bible, it would burn your hands. She was taught that if you were baptized, the water would poison you. Well, one Sunday morning, that family brought Debbie to our church. And that Sunday morning, Old Fox River Church, we were baptizing a baby boy. So we pulled out that big old wooden baptism font. That woman freaked out, leaned over and asked the husband, where do they keep the knives? That woman was convinced we were going to kill that baby and slit his throat and drain his blood. Because she had seen every kind of animal sacrifice, human sacrifice, the whole 9 yards. Well, as the husband kept counseling her over time, he started sharing the gospel with her. And when she started hearing about Jesus Christ, she started wanting to get away from that satanic group. And then, of course, all hell broke loose. Because that group did not want her to leave, and they started hunting her down. And I can't tell you how many times Sue and I got in on it, escorting that woman from her job to her house, being chased by devil worshipers, taking different roads all times of the day and night, hiding in her house while her devil worshipers were pounding on her door, seeing cars parked off the driveway of our house with N-A-T-A-S on the license plate, Satan spelled backwards. You ever wonder what me and Sue did in our 31 years here at Fox River? Believe you me, you don't know the half of it. And that satanic group even wrote me a letter that said this: we have placed a curse on you, your wife, your house, and your church, Fox River, and our God, Lord Lucifer, will take you out and destroy you all. You have been warned. And that woman would constantly go back and forth, not wanting to stay in the group and not wanting to leave. And no matter what we did, no matter how much we talked to her, no matter how many times we prayed with her and prayed over her, she still wouldn't make a decision to stay or go. And then we found out why. Because the devil had used that woman to destroy that husband's marriage, because the husband eventually started having an affair with her. And his wife found out, took the 3 little kids and left for good. Jezebel knew exactly what she was doing. And because the husband didn't want anything to do with Debbie anymore, Debbie called and asked if she could come and stay with me with Sue. Because her intention was to do exactly the same thing to our marriage that she did with the other couples. Sue and I finally woke up and recognized Jezebel for who she really was. So this wasn't just a demonic attack against our church. This was a demonic attack against me and Sue. When we prayed about her coming to her house, you know what God said? Let her stay one night and watch what happens. So a full-blown Satanist who literally worshipped the devil and had just broken up another marriage was coming to our house? You talk about praying up a storm and putting on the whole armor of God and pleading the blood. Well, that night when Debbie showed up, we offered her something to eat and then showed her the room that she was going to be staying in, right next to our room, just inches away around the corner. But right before she went to bed, she went out to her car And she brought back in the biggest, nastiest, razor sharpest knife that I'd ever seen in my entire life. I'm talking about Crocodile Dundee on steroids knife. Razor sharp, a knife that had been used in human sacrifices. And she said, I wanted you to see this because I wanted you to know I've got this with me, trying to intimidate us. And folks, she was going to be right around the corner, inches away from our bedroom. But see, we had one on her too. Because the spare bedroom she was going to be sleeping in, Sue had a double bed in that room. And right above the headboard of that double bed, she had a picture of Jesus knocking on the door of your heart, Revelation 3:20. So when that woman laid down that night, she was going to be looking at Jesus knocking on the door of her heart. Jesus who came to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John chapter 3, verse. So take that. Folks, a full-blown Satanist who literally worshiped the devil, who'd been involved in every kind of demonic sacrifice you can imagine, with a razor-sharp knife, was sleeping in the next room with us. She was going to be in the room inches away from us. You say, Kevin, I bet you were so freaked out you and Sue didn't sleep all night, right? Wrong. We prayed, took authority over the spirit of Jezebel, slept through that entire night like two lumps of bread dough. One of the best night's sleeps I've ever had in my life. We woke up the next morning, Debbie was long gone. Her bed hadn't even been slept in. And you know why? Because when she got a load of the Holy Spirit that was in our house and that picture of Jesus on the wall, and when she realized that she couldn't do to our marriage what she did to that other couple's, she left. And we haven't seen or heard hide nor hair of her ever since. People, listen to me. I know from personal experience, the spirit of Jezebel is not a talking point. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It is a demonic spirit that will steal and kill and destroy absolutely every single thing that you have. But if you wake up and recognize it and take authority over it in the name of Jesus, it will have to leave just like that woman did. Because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Folks, me and Sue and Fox River Church have been cursed more than the Chicago Cubs. And guess what? We are still married and this church is still rolling. The first thing that we need to do to wake up and have victory over the spirit of Jezebel, we need to recognize her. We go on in this text and we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to wake up and have victory over Jezebel. We not only need to recognize her, we also need to make a choice. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 32. Jehu looks up and there's Jezebel in the window of the palace, acting like she's the hottest Instagram model in all of Mesopotamia. Devil with the blue dress on. Jehu has faced dozens of enemy armies in battle. Jehu has taken on hundreds and hundreds of enemy soldiers in hand-to-hand combat to the death. He just got done killing the king of Israel and the king of Judah. But this is his biggest test yet, because he is being tempted to not do what God called him to do. And Jezebel's even sexting him pictures on his phone, and he just keeps deleting them because he realizes he's seen better heads on a glass of beer. And then Jehu makes his choice. Looks up at the window. To who? To who was standing there with Jezebel? Eunuchs. Men who were castrated so they could serve a king and oversee his harem without causing problems. Because every single man in Jezebel's life was castrated or emasculated. If not physically, then mentally. Jehu calls up, "Who's on my side?" He says to the eunuchs. Make a choice. It's either Jezebel or God. Who's on my side? Who's on the Lord's side? Make a choice. Sadly enough, the Laodicean church today in these last days, they made their choice a long time ago. They chose Jezebel because the church today is possessed by the spirit of Jezebel. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Jesus is talking to the church of Thyatira. And Jesus says, my biggest beef against you, you tolerate that woman Jezebel and her false teaching and sexual immorality. What is the apostate church in America all about today? Tolerating false teaching and sexual immorality. Tolerance. And people, it's everywhere. Heretic ELCA pastor named Drew Stever, who was a woman pretending to be a man, said this. Traditional interpretations of gender as outlined in the Bible are outdated. You're possessed by Jezebel, pastor, and you got a counterfeit anointing. Then there's that clown from the United Methodist Church.
So at the ripe old age of 55, I came out to God and to myself as transgender. So to those around me, I started sharing my transfiguration experience. What was hidden inside of me, I was sharing and allowing the world to see. On the day of transfiguration, Jesus was revealed to be more than what meets the eye. When a transgender person chooses to allow you to join them on their mountaintop and chooses to reveal to you their soul, feel honored.
So Jesus' transfiguration means that Jesus wants him to cut off his penis, put on a dress, and pretend to be a woman. Ichabod, people, for the glory of God has departed. According to New Testament standards, the United Methodist Church today is not united, it's not Methodist, and it is definitely not a church. Last December, a 22-year-old man named Thomas Hall, who thought he was trans and tried to live like a woman for 4 years, finally got saved and came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior and made a decision he was going to be the man that God originally created him to be. And then he got baptized to confirm the whole thing. That's what it looked like.
I gave my life to Jesus today, and I was literally a different gender. I identified as a different gender. I identified as a woman. But God said that He wants me back the way He made me. And today, I profess my love for Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is whatever He says I am, that's who I am.
Praise God. But all you reprobate pastors of Jezebel, by pushing all that transgender claptrap, you are keeping people from getting saved, and you are fast-tracking them straight to hell. You say, Kevin, what are you mad about? I'm not mad. I'm anointed. Last Tuesday, President Donald Trump and his family and Vice President J.D. Vance and his family went to the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. for a prayer service. And then a satanic, anti-American, anti-Trump, lesbian social justice warrior who masquerades as a Christian pastor, a woman named Marianne Buddy, said this to him.
People in our country, we're scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meat packing plants, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away.
So to be godly, we're supposed to ignore all of our immigration laws, all national borders that God himself put in place, Acts chapter 17, verse 26, and all the illegal criminals who come into this country and murder American citizens. And we're supposed to let Dr. Mengele's continue to mutilate the bodies of little kids to satisfy the sick fantasies of a bunch of perverted adults, because that's what Jesus would do, right? My God, people, what an absolute disgrace. All you woke pastors and all you woke churches that maybe listen to this sermon right now, for the love of God, wake up! Wake up and strengthen that which remains and is about to die, for your deeds have not been found complete in the sight of your God. My God, wake up and make a choice. There's people sitting in this church right now. You've got to make a choice about your life. Jezebel or God? Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 says one of the things that Jezebel does in the church, she brings fornication. The Greek word for fornication is porneo. It's where we get our word porn from. So what this verse is doing is prophesying that the last day's church will have a spirit of pornography. And boy, does it ever. So if you're listening to the sermon right now and you are using porn, you got a problem with porn. You got the spirit of Jezebel. There's Mark Zuckerberg standing next to Lauren Sanchez, Jeff Bezos' girlfriend, on stage during the inauguration service last Monday. Look at what Mark Zuckerberg does with Lauren Sanchez.
The internet went into meltdown over the footage, with commentators largely seeing the humor in the awkward interaction.
See him checking her out? Bird-dogging her? That's called lust. You got a problem with lust? You got the spirit of Jezebel. You got to make a choice. I have to make the same choice too. You want to be a dirty old man? You want to be a new creation in Christ? Jezebel or God? Pastor Kevin, I just met this incredible guy. The problem is he's not a Christian. So I'm going to pray about it and I'm going to see what God says. No, you don't need to pray about it. You already know what God says right in here. Do not be unequally yoked. Amen. Spirit of Jezebel. The name Jezebel literally means not married. Well, Jezebel was married. She just acted like she wasn't. So married people, let me ask you. Are you acting like you're married? You got a phone that your spouse doesn't know about? Are you texting people that your spouse doesn't know about? You say, well, Kevin, it's not going to cause me to cheat. Listen to me. If you're erasing text messages from your phone because you don't want your spouse to see them, you're already cheating. And I know there's guys listening to the sermon right now. You say, Kevin, I'm never going to have a problem with anybody after me. I'm not attractive at all. I'm not going to have a problem with cheating on my wife. I'm not attractive either. I'm as ugly as a mud fence. But in 44 years of ministry, you know how many women have come to me and want me to come to their house, just me and her, and pray over her? How many women have asked me to come to their house and do private Bible studies? How many women come to me and ask for my phone number? I say, I don't have a phone, but I'll give you my wife's phone number. They want to come to me for private counseling, just me and them. And I tell them exactly the same thing year after year. My wife, Sue, is a professional Christian counselor, and she is very good at it. So me and my wife both would be happy to meet with you. Click. Guys, listen to me. It's not about us. It's about the women, and it's about the spirit of Jezebel in those women. And how easy it is to justify the cheating. The great Christian apologist, Ravi Zacharias, after he died, come to find out he had dozens and dozens of women stashed all over the world that he was sleeping with and using for sex. And do you know how he tried to justify it to his very closest friends who knew about it? He told them that was God's way of rewarding him for all the ministry that he did. Bible's got another word for it. He chose Jezebel over God. Jezebel smashes altars and destroys the worship of God. So let me ask you, you still got an altar in here? You still got an altar in your house, in your home? Are you praying? Are you spending any time in prayer with God? Are you praying with your spouse? Are you praying with your family and over your family? Because the spirit of Jezebel is what takes that motivation away, takes the desire away. The average Christian in America right now spends 5 hours a day on their phone. 5 hours and zero time whatsoever in prayer and in the Word. Jezebel or God? There's people listening to this sermon right here in this room. Jezebel's calling to you right now, isn't she? Some of you have been hearing her voice for a long, long time when she calls you. Saying all kinds of crazy things. You're a guy and you got molested by another guy. You've got to be gay. You were raped. You were abused. You're damaged goods. No guy is ever going to want you. See what Jezebel does? You got to send your boyfriend those pictures he's asking for. Because you got to give a guy something. And if you don't, he's going to find somebody else. And I know you're naked in those pictures, but he promised he wouldn't show them to anybody. Your parents find out you're pregnant, they'll kill you because they want you to go to college. Just go to Planned Parenthood, just get the pills, the double dose, just do it and have an abortion. Nobody will ever know. Hear Jezebel? Your husband doesn't appreciate you. Your husband doesn't deserve you. But that new guy in accounting that keeps flirting with you and sending you the emails, he really understands you. And yes, getting together is one thing, but doesn't God want you to be happy? Your husband can't satisfy your needs. He could. God wants you to be happy. And if you're happy, your kids will be happier. And the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Yeah, because it's fertilized with BS. Your wife doesn't want to have sex with you. Just use porn. It doesn't mean that you don't love your wife. You still love your wife. Your using porn doesn't have anything to do with your wife. Really? Why don't you ask her and see what she says? There's people in this room right now. You've been listening to Jezebel for so long. She's got you this close. She sets you up this close to disaster. You are this close to losing absolutely everything that you have. Your life and your marriage and your family and your kids and your job. She sets you up. Amen. You've got to stop listening to Jezebel. You've got to start listening to God. Amen. Like that kid did. In case anybody doesn't know, OnlyFans is an internet platform for mostly women all over the world to make porn. And then guys all over the world subscribe to the different women's YouTube channels to watch what they create for money, of course. And right now, one of the hottest women on OnlyFans is 24-year-old Bonnie Blue from Australia. And right now, she's traveling all over the world trying to get what she calls schoolies, barely legal 17 to 18-year-old guys to have sex with her so she can videotape it and download it on her YouTube channel. And folks, Bonnie Blue is so popular, whenever she announces online the next location where she's going to be next in the world, guys line up from here to Kingdom Come to sleep with her. And she says it's okay because she always makes them prove their age and use a condom. Like that makes it okay. Folks, Bonnie Blue is a pig and a predator and a prostitute because she's selling her body and taking advantage of all kinds of stupid horn dog guys to make a lot of money. Talk about a spirit of Jezebel. Well, last month, she posted a video of her going into a Five Guys burger restaurant, purposely didn't say where it was in the world, and nothing was staged, totally unrehearsed. She went up to the teenage guy behind the register, and that happened.
I just wondered, I can't see it on the menu, but where do I get the Five Guys from? The Five Guys. I didn't know if it feels like a special room where you can take me out back.
No, I don't think that's happening.
What about after your shift? I'd want to give you, a good rating.
She said, I can't see it on the menu, but where do I get the Five Guys from? Where do I get the Five Guys from? Is there a special room you can take me to, or can we just do it out back? And when the guy realized she was trying to proposition him, he said, no, I don't think that's going to happen. But she kept pushing and asked him if he wanted to hook up after his shift was over. Now, the vast majority of 17 to 18-year-old guys and OnlyFans porn star wants to knock boots with you? Absolutely. Where do we start? But notice what that guy said.
No, I don't think that's
happening. What about after your shift? I'd want to give you, a good rating.
I'm a Christian man.
Oh, good boy.
I'm asking for what's on the menu, that's all.
Genuinely, I feel like I'm doing it right now. I can hold your menu if you want.
Are you on it?
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's a good shame.
Did you hear what he said? No, I'm a Christian man, and I'm waiting for marriage. Praise the Lord, people. Genesis 2:24 says a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and get married. And then and only then will they have sex and become one flesh. Study after study proves over and over people who have the best sex and the most sex are people of faith who are married to each other. So put that in your OnlyFans pipe and smoke it. And you know why that guy was able to say no to that woman, as tempting as she was? Because you don't make a decision about obeying God when Jezebel walks through the door and tries to seduce you. You make a decision about obeying God before Jezebel even comes along, like that guy did. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God, like that guy didn't. And notice what happened. Even though she kept pushing, he kept saying no. What happened? She eventually left. Because James chapter 4, verse 7, you rebuke the devil, he will flee from you. Jesus said, Luke chapter 17, verse 1, temptations will come. You're sitting in this church now. They're going to come to you. Jezebel is going to tempt you. Your wife has to go out to Iowa to take care of her sick mom. And you're going to get a call from that woman at work that just got a divorce, wanting you to come over and show her how to use her computer. You're married for 16 years, and all of a sudden that boyfriend you had in college is going to find you on Instagram and ask to meet you for coffee. Your friends are going to send you a bunch of pictures from Pornhub. And they're going to be right there on your phone. And you want to open up and look so bad. That girl you date for over a year, all of a sudden is going to want to have sex with you because she wants you to be her first. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you do. You make a choice. You make a decision. Right here and now, that you're going to be completely 100% committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and living according to the standard of His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit, because Titus chapter 2 verse 11, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to say no to unrighteousness. You make a choice. You make a decision right here and now to put the run on Jezebel and to give her the beat down that she deserves before she ever comes along. You decide now what you're going to do then. The second thing that we need to do to wake up and have victory over Jezebel, we've got to make a choice. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to wake up and have victory over Jezebel. We not only need to recognize her, we not only need to make a choice, but third, we need to throw her down. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 33 to 37. Because that's what the eunuchs did. Jehu says, make a choice. Who's on my side? Who's on the Lord's side? The eunuchs didn't even think twice. No mercy, no quarter. They grabbed Jezebel. They chucked her out the window. And when she hit the pavement, her blood splattered all over the place. And because she still wasn't dead, Jehu's horses trampled her. And then when she still wasn't dead after that, wild dogs came and ate her alive. That old battle axe was harder to kill off than Rasputin. And verse 34, Jehu tells his men, make sure you bury her first face down so she can't crawl her way back out. Ding dong, the witch is dead. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, Kevin, why do you keep saying that the victory that Donald Trump won for America last November the 5th is exactly like the victory that Jehu won for the northern kingdom of Israel 800 years before the birth of Christ? I'll tell you why. Because Donald Trump beat Jezebel too. Just like King Jehu did. Jezebel was thrown down last November the 5th because Donald Trump beat Jezebel in the 2024 election. That old, evil Jezebel, Clinton, Obama dynasty. King Joram ruled over Israel for 12 years, all controlled by Jezebel. Barack Obama was president over America for 8 years and then 4 more years with Joe Biden as the front man. 12 years, all totally controlled by Jezebel. Remember Barack Obama saying he was going to fundamentally transform the United States of America? Remember 2015 when he got the United States Supreme Court to legalize gay marriage and then lit up the White House with the rainbow colors? Jezebel. Jezebel was 22 years in power, 14 years without her husband. And what do you know? Hillary Clinton was 22 years in power as First Lady and Senator of New York. And Secretary of State, 14 years without her husband. And remember when Hillary Clinton said this? The deep-seated cultural codes and religious beliefs of Christians and conservatives are going to have to change. Spirit of Jezebel. Nancy Pelosi, race baiter and baby killer, who turned her city, San Francisco, into a third world country. Spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel slept her way to the top. Gee, good thing we don't have anybody like that in politics today. Kamala Harris, who pushes child sacrifice with totally unrestricted abortion, and on her watch, 325,000 migrant children disappeared at the border into sex slavery. That name Kamala in Hebrew literally means, I kid you not, a demonic god ruled by the devil. Spirit of Jezebel. Joe Biden. Daughter Ashley Biden wrote in her diary that her dad, Joe Biden, would take showers with her when she was 11 and 12 and 13 years old. The nickname, his own family calls him, is Pedo Peter. Remember when Joe Biden hung the gay pride flag and the trans pride flag from the White House portico? Drag queens dancing naked on the White House lawn? Joe Biden sending FBI agents after 75-year-old grandmas praying at abortion clinics? Sending FBI agents into churches that fly the Betsy Ross flag. And to show how deep the rot really runs, last Monday, 14 minutes before Donald Trump took the oath of office, Joe Biden pardoned every single one of the members of the Delaware hillbilly crime family. House committee has all the receipts. They got $10 million from China. They got $6 million from Ukraine. They got $3 million from Russia. Sent to all 9 family members spread out over 221 different LLCs, proving that for decades, Joe Biden and his family sold our safety and national security to enemy nations for dirty, filthy, stinking money. The only people who need pardons are people who've committed crimes. Joe Biden was the absolute worst piece of humanity, most corrupt person to ever occupy the White House. Do you remember that picture last Monday of President Donald Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance and their wives waving goodbye to Joe Biden and Jill Biden as they flew in a helicopter off into the sunset? I couldn't wait for January 20th to take out the trash. Holy good riddance to bad rubbish, people. Joe Biden is gone and it's morning in America. Ding dong, the witch is dead. And his first day in office, Donald Trump started signing all kinds of executive orders. He closed the southern border to stop the illegal invasion. He pardoned 1,600 January the 6th defendants who were there just as political prisoners. He stopped all the DEI claptrapping and guys trying to play girls' sports. He signed an executive order to drill baby drill to try to fight high prices and inflation. Donald Trump did more in 12 hours than Joe Biden did his entire 4 years. Jezebel was thrown down. That evil Ahab Jezebel dynasty lasted for 38 years. And God told them over and over again, all their sin and all their evil would eventually be judged and punished. And it was. They met their Waterloo. And God tells us, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, that all the evil and all the sin is going to be judged and punished too someday. Last election day, November the 5th, and last inauguration day, last Monday, part of that judgment fell. And that punishment came. Jezebel was thrown down. Jezebel was thrown down by Donald Trump last November the 5th. But you know what? Jezebel was ultimately thrown down 2,000 years ago at the cross of Jesus Christ. Verse 35. Notice when Jehu's men go back to bury Jezebel, after the dogs chewed her up, all they find is her skull, her hands, and her feet. And why her skull, her hands, and her feet? Because 1,000 years later, in Israel, on a hill called Calvary, the sinless Son of God was nailed to a cross. And where were the wounds on Jesus' body? His skull, and his hands, and his feet. The skull from the crown of thorns. The wounds on his hands and his feet from the iron spikes pounded through him. Folks, those wounds represent our sin brought about by the spirit of Jezebel. Those wounds represent the forgiveness of our sin brought about by the spirit of God. Amen. And notice verse 37, Jezebel was never buried so that no one would be able to point and say there was Jezebel. But see, Jesus Christ was buried. Then 3 days after that, he rose from the dead. So nobody would ever be able to point to us and say, there is your sin. Jezebel was ultimately thrown down 2,000 years ago at the cross of Jesus Christ. Last election day, November 5th, and just this past Monday, inauguration day, just helped apply that victory to our country. You know what that means? That means you and I got to apply that victory too. We've got to apply that victory to our own lives. And notice we have to do it. Jehu did not do that for the eunuchs of Jezebel. The eunuchs had to make a decision themselves to throw down Jezebel. People, we've got to make a decision to throw down Jezebel too in our own lives. Because that dirty, stinking, filthy Jezebel spirit attacks and oppresses every single one of us 24/7, 365. Amen. But every time the Jezebel spirit rises up, God brings in Jehus to overcome it. And there's Jehus sitting all over this church right now, right here. So men, put down the purse and take up a sword. Because God's not looking for pew warmers. He's looking for prayer warriors. Not today, Jezebel. Not my life, not my marriage, not my family, not my church, and not my country. Throw that dirty, filthy, stinking spirit of Jezebel down and cast her out. We got to do that for our country too. Anybody notice who was on stage with President Donald Trump last Monday during the inauguration ceremony, in the front row, with better seats than even his own cabinet members had? Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Meta. Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon. Sundar Pichai of Google. Larry Ellison of Oracle. Tim Cook of Apple. I could go on and on. All the big giant technocrats who hate us MAGA people and tried to censor us and cancel us on social media during the lockdown, and who gave millions and millions of dollars to the left to try to make sure Donald Trump didn't get elected. But now they're acting like they're the best friends he ever had. And now we know why. Because last Tuesday, Donald Trump announced America was entering the golden age of Bitcoin, and Bitcoin prices went through the roof. Donald Trump even has his own Bitcoin worth $94,000. But folks, the problem is Bitcoin is digital currency. Digital currency that only exists online and can only be accessed online. July 21st, 2021, Joe Biden signed an executive order to force the federal government to start making and using digital currency. March 9th, 2022, he signed another executive order. Get the federal government to establish a bank, a central bank of digital currency. Folks, we've been speaking out against digital currency in this church for years. Because if your money gets converted to digital currency, that means the government can monitor it. And they can tell what you're spending it on. If the powers that be don't like what you're spending it on, one push of a button, all your money is gone. And the only way you can get it back is if you toe the party line, like the Chinese Communist Party is doing in China with social credit scores. Folks, with digital currency, big government can control absolutely every single aspect of your entire life. And not only that, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17 says during the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist is going to set up a one world government and a one world economy and force every person on the face of the earth to get the mark of the beast on the right hand of their forehead. Something in, not on, but in the person's body. And the Antichrist will use that mark of the beast to control everybody's money and their ability to buy and sell. And today we know that that mark is going to be a human implantable microchip injected into the person's body that will store all their financial information and all their money in the form of digital currency. So anybody who doesn't take the mark or worship the Antichrist, all their digital currency will be canceled. So they won't be able to buy or sell anything. So the Antichrist will be able to control every single aspect of people's lives. See what digital currency is going to be used for? And I know Donald Trump would never have digital currency used like that. But the problem is, what are all the other presidents going to do with it who come after him? Now, do I think Donald Trump is the Antichrist? He's going to bring about the mark of the beast? Of course not. Donald Trump is the biggest anti-globalist in the world today. Donald Trump already got us out of the Paris Climate Accords and the WHO pandemic treaty. Two platforms the Antichrist could have used to start taking over the world. Donald Trump is all about America first and freedom and constitutional rights. Yuval Harari of the World Economic Forum said one world government will have to be put on hold until Donald Trump leaves office. But that move toward digital currency is still a problem. Want to hear another one? 2 months before the election, Donald Trump asked Bill Gates to come down to Mar-a-Lago for a 3-hour meeting. Bill Gates from hell, who spent the last 20 years killing people all over the world with experimental vaccines. Bill Gates, who invented the quantum dot vaccine system before the pandemic even started, that injects particles of nanotechnology into people's bodies. Particles that connect to the internet and it can exchange digital currency. Can everybody say Mark of the Beast? And Bill Gates funded 7 different laboratories that helped create the mRNA clot shot that's killed millions of people all over the world and is still killing people all over the world with all the side effects with blood clots and heart attacks and strokes and cancer. So what did Donald Trump and Bill Gates talk about their 3-hour meeting at Mar-a-Lago? Of course, mRNA vaccine technology. Bill Gates said this. I was very impressed how interested Donald Trump was in mRNA vaccine technology like we used during COVID. And then we got that. Last Tuesday, Donald Trump announced the creation of something called Stargate, a $500 billion investment by the federal government into artificial intelligence. And Stargate, among other things, is going to make what? Vaccines. And what kind of vaccine? There's Larry Ellison, CEO of Oracle. Larry Ellison wants to turn the United States of America into a surveillance state where Big Brother controls every single move that you make. There's what Larry Ellison said. What kind of vaccines are they going to produce?
And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again using AI, in about 48 hours.
The mRNA vaccine. People, mRNA vaccines aren't just bad, they're evil. I don't care who makes them, I don't care who promotes them. mRNA vaccines are a DNA-altering, gene-editing nightmare that will either kill you over time or possibly even kill you where you stand. They're spending $500 billion on AI technology, and the first thing they're going to use it for is mRNA vaccine. mRNA vaccines produced by artificial intelligence. You know that technology that's controlled by the prince of the power of the air? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. What could possibly go wrong? Folks, what is this? Operation Warp Speed 2.0, straight to the mark of the beast. All hail the jab. And I know there's people listening to me right now saying, Kevin, you've got to be a closet never Trumper. Are you kidding me? I voted for the guy 3 times just like you did. I've had a campaign sign for Donald Trump in my front yard for 9 years. Well, Kevin, you're saying that he's the Antichrist. He's going to bring about the mark of the beast. No. I believe with all my heart that God raised up Donald Trump and that God kept him alive and spared his life to help save this country and also all of Western civilization. Donald Trump is not the Antichrist. He's not going to bring about the mark of the beast. Donald Trump has said absolutely nothing about making these vaccines mandatory. Donald Trump is not a deep fake. He's not the Antichrist. He's not the man of lawlessness. He's not a tool for the New World Order now. You know what Donald Trump is? He's a human being. And because he's a human being, he is tempted, like all of us are tempted. He was lied to about the vaccine in 2020. He's being lied to about the vaccine now. Just like Jehu, Donald Trump rode into the city in triumph. And there's Jezebel calling from the window. You don't think the spirit of Jezebel is real? You don't think the spirit of Jezebel is dangerous? You don't think that spirit of Jezebel is demonic? You don't think we have to throw that down and to cast it down for Donald Trump's sake and for the sake of this country? But you know what, folks? We are never going to be able to throw Jezebel down in this country if we, first of all, don't throw Jezebel down in our own lives. And you have got to make a serious, personal decision to do that. And throwing out Jezebel is very hard. This is the hardest spirit in my entire 35-year career. This is the hardest kind of spirit to cast out of people. And you know why? Because too many people love having her there. Because they love the porn, and they love the lust, and they love the looks, and they love the partying, and the sleeping around, and the manipulation, and the mind games, and the power that it gives them over people. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. We're going to pray in a couple seconds like we did last week to cast out this demon spirit or to stop the oppression. And you may stand up. You may go through the motions. You may put a hand on yourself. You may say what everybody else says. You're going to go right back home, and you're going to do the same things over again. You've got to make a personal, serious commitment here to get rid of this out of your life. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't have Jezebel and God both. There ain't enough room in your soul or in your spirit for both of them. And God says he will not share his glory with another. You want Jezebel, God's leaving. Amen. And God gives us his promise, Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. If we throw down that spirit of Jezebel, he will give you authority over the nation. Amen. Spiritual authority. So America really can be great again and born again and godly again. We really can be one nation under God until Jesus comes back. That's what's at stake. So if you are here today and you're sick and tired of the spirit of Jezebel, you're tired of the oppression, you're tired of the lust, you're tired of the porn, you're tired of dealing with it in your marriage, you're sick and tired of sorting out all the movies that your kids are trying to watch and checking their phone and looking at the apps and worried about when your husband is coming home because he's 15 minutes late from work and all the innuendos and who is your wife talking to and all the bad boyfriends and bad girlfriends and just the same cycle through their house. And who is that? You don't know who it is. If you're sick and tired of the spirit of Jezebel, I want you to stand up right where you're at. Stand up just like last week. And I want you to take a hand and I want you to lay it on yourself. You've got the spiritual authority to get rid of this stuff. Amen. And all the mind games and all the confusion and all the fear and all the anxiety that comes with it. And I want to tell you something. These last 2 weeks, we go to casting out demon spirits. And I know this from 35 years of experience. My wife and I are going to be attacked like you wouldn't believe. But we're going to do this because God wants his people free. Amen. So everybody, let's lay hands on ourselves. Let's close our eyes and let's pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who came to destroy the works of the devil, for whom nothing is impossible. Jezebel, we cast you out in the name of Jesus. We know you're here, Jezebel. And we want to say today that we are not afraid of you. These people do not belong to you. They are not your property. You did not die for them. You did not bleed for them. You did not sacrifice for them. Right now, we just cast you out and command that you to be gone in the name of Jesus. Let my people go. Lord, all the confusion, all the mind games, all the power trips, all the fear and the concern, Lord, about people having an affairs and all the bad thoughts that we have, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. We command you to go, because greater is He that is in us than you, Jezebel, that is in this world. Right now, Lord, we just take a moment of silence and we pray. You just fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, Spirit, come to this church, to these people right now. Jezebel is gone. You need to fill that hole. You need to fill us up, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus, be gone. In Jesus' name. There's somebody here today you still haven't let go, because there's something you want to do right when you get home from church. Surrender that today, right now. Jezebel is setting you up. She's setting you up for a fall. Stop it now before it goes any further, before it hits the point of no return. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ, be free. And those whom the Son sets free are free indeed.